Thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrington Cast, the official podcast of Corrington Church.
When we fail to be obedient to God, what happens to us and how does He give us over? What do we do when we're given over to what we want to do? This is the second half of Dr. Rocky Ramsey's message on the truth about sin. We left off with Pastor Rocky explaining how we're given over to dishonoring lusts.
This is the will of God. Stop. There's a whole lot of things we don't know what the will of God is. You know, there's no word from God that tells me I'm to marry this person or go to this school or buy that house or drive that car or whatever else. But here's one. We know exactly what God's will is. He's telling us. This one's for sure. This is the will of God, your sanctification. That is that you abstain from sexual immorality. Verse 7, for God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but in sanctification. So, watch this, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Wow, this is the truth. If you disagree with this, you're not disagreeing with any man, any church. You're disagreeing with God himself. God's moral laws apply to all the same. It doesn't matter if you're young or old. It doesn't matter if you're married, never married, been married 15 times. It's as wrong for a married or divorced adult or an unmarried or divorced adult to be sexually active as it is for a 12-year-old. There's no difference. All kinds of people in churches, a lot of singles ministry in churches have just become Christian bars. It's where they pick up women and hook up. And men tell women. I remember getting a lady showed me a letter one time this guy wrote her explaining how since we have already been divorced and married and divorced and we're not virgins, then none of those things apply to us anymore. Obviously, you know what he was trying to get. And so he's telling her a lie, hoping she'll buy it. Well, she didn't, thank goodness. This is one thing where God's will is crystal clear. If you don't buy it, it's rejecting God himself. Lust-driven actions are wrong. Lustful touching is wrong. Well, we didn't go all the way. Lustful touching is wrong. Lustful looking is wrong. Pornography. Look at what Jesus said in Matthew 5:28. Everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If you read verse 29, Jesus makes it clear that lustful looking, porn, can get your whole body thrown into hell. That's what Jesus said. Write this down somewhere. Grace never overrides what Jesus or the rest of the Bible says. Grace never overrides what Jesus or the rest of the Bible says. We live in a day where a lot of people take this word grace and it's like an eraser. Well, Jesus said that. We'll just erase it out. Well, Paul said this. Well, we'll just erase it out. None of that matters because we're under grace. What you're under is a bunch of baloney is what you're under. What you're under is the delusion that you know what the Bible says and you don't. That you know what grace is and you don't. That's okay to keep sinning, it doesn't matter, and it's not. God's moral laws apply the same. When we reject God, he gives us over to displaced worship, to dishonoring lust. That, watch, now I don't control my desires. My desires control me. If that's where you are, that's a sad place to be. You're not living in victory. You're a victim. You're a victim of what you feel like doing. That doesn't make you strong. That makes you very weak. You don't want to be weak. You want to be strong. You don't let your feelings determine what you do. You determine what you do by what you ought to do. Your feelings become irrelevant to that. So displaced worship, dishonoring lusts, and then number three, degrading passions. Look at Romans chapter 1, verses 26, 27. In fact, let's start with verse 25. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie, literally the lie, and worship and serve the creature rather than the creator. At this point in the game, we get to make the rules up. God's not our God. He's not over us. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. We worship the wrong things. Our desires get out of control. They control us. And then our desires go off the rails. Now it's not just a natural desire gone bad. It's an unnatural desire that begins to control us. Look at these verses in your outline. Leviticus 20, verse 13. If there's a man who lies with a male, as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. I'll read these entire verses at the end of the message. The unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, listen closely. Here's what we do in America. Something is illegal, but we do it anyway. So then we make it legal. We did this with alcohol. We've done this with prostitution. Nevada is called, Las Vegas is called Sin City for two reasons. One, the prostitution and gambling. And two, because it's the closest place to hell temperature-wise on the planet. Okay, if you're been out there, you can figure that out. I remember playing tennis, it was 114 out there. And now, marijuana in a growing number of states, soon to be ours too. Prior to December 15th, 1973, homosexual behavior was considered a mental illness by the American Psychiatric Association. The people were doing it, so we changed the rules. Homosexual behavior was a federal crime until it was legalized nationally. You ready for this? In just 2003. In a case called Lawrence versus Texas. Think of that. 18 years ago, homosexual behavior was a crime. Now think about today, 18 years later. It is the most celebrated lifestyle in America. You can't speak against it or you'll be in trouble. You see it everywhere. They're even putting gays on Hallmark movies now. I don't know what I'm going to do. That's the last safe place. We do personally what America and most Western nations have done nationally. We disdain something, then we tolerate it, then we embrace it, then we justify it, then we celebrate it, then we silence, cancel, and punish anyone who doesn't celebrate it with us. Am I in the right country? Only churches have been able to avoid the liberal left's hammer. But unless things change in America, we're next. Our days are numbered. So you better vote, and you better vote Christian, or you won't have much Christian left in a number of years to come. Think of the change in America since the year 2000. I think that's when we went off the cliff. The moral change has been astronomical. Astronomical. You high school kids, it's fashionable to be gay, isn't it? I mean, if you don't have an identity, you're not a jock, you're not a brainiac, you know, who are you? You're a little nobody. But I'll tell you what, if you be gay or trans, oh, everybody in school will be talking about you, won't they? Now you're something. Now you're somebody. It's a fad. It's a dangerous fad. And don't you feel sad for these people? I think I'm a girl. If somebody was born and somebody, a teenager in your school came up and said, I want them to cut this arm off because I don't think it belongs on me, so I'm going to have it amputated. What would you say? Oh, that if you don't want it, then let's cut it off. No, you'd say, you're crazy. You're insane. You're nuts. What's wrong with you? Yet a boy can think he's a girl or a girl can think he's a boy, and we think it's as normal as breathing. Am I in the right room? You're thinking, it's a good thing you're old, Rocky, because you'd be dead in a few years saying what you say. America, the new America, doesn't have much of a stomach for the truth anymore. And we want to change everything that's ever been. You do know that, don't you? Everything. We don't change education. Oh, we got people who talk to you about critical race theory and climate control and all this bull, but they can't read. They can't do math. They don't know history. We just push them on up the ladder. We got illiterate people graduating high school. Your grandparents were 10 times smarter than you. They had a much higher standard in high school than you have. One of my son-in-laws worked for a major corporation, which he quit a couple of months ago. He had to write an official document, put in his name, and then put in the pronoun that he preferred to be called by. And from then on, everybody would police the pronouns. If you don't call somebody by the pronoun, they won't be called by your history here. If you're not mad, you're asleep if you're a Christian. If you're not upset, you're asleep. You better wake up. And you better vote. Or you're going to wake up one day in a country you don't even recognize anymore. But we're not that far from it. Now, God loves LGBTQ people as much as he loves me, as much as he loved Billy Graham. His love for us isn't about who we are, it's about who he is. So it doesn't matter how much you sin, God still loves you. Because he doesn't love you because you, he loves you because of him. He made you. He loves you. He's got this great plan for your life. He made heaven for you. But his love doesn't fix our sin problem. It doesn't fix the sin problem of a gay person. It doesn't fix the sin problem of a straight person. We all have to repent. Morality is on his terms, not ours. Scripture is clear. There's no such thing as a practicing homosexual Christian. Those are contradictory statements. There are former homosexuals who are now Christians, but you can't live that lifestyle, go to heaven. Say, why? Because the Bible says. You can't live any immoral lifestyle and go to heaven according to the Bible. Unlike people in countries, the Holy Spirit doesn't adjust right and wrong based upon the behavior of people. He doesn't make legal what was once illegal because everybody's doing it anyway. Right and wrong are determined by God's holy, unchanging nature. They'll never change. So it gives us over to displaced worship and then dishonoring lust and then degrading passions. And then finally, number four, to depraved thinking. Depraved thinking. We worship the wrong things. Our natural desires get out of control. We begin to follow unnatural desires. And then God gives us over to depraved thinking. Look at 28 to 32, Romans 1. And just as they did not to see fit to acknowledge God any longer, he doesn't even exist. Who's God? God gave them over to a depraved mind to do the things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And watch this. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. A depraved mind thinks that right is wrong and wrong is right. These verses explain why so many people have become. They know it's wrong. They do it anyway. And they give approval to others who do it anyway. They endorse sin. In most Western civilization nations today, a gender-confused person is right. And any person who doesn't play by their rule book is wrong. They get to pick their gender. They get to pick their pronoun they wish to be called by. If you don't call them by that pronoun, you'll lose your job. You think there's nothing wrong with killing unborn? They think there's nothing wrong with killing unborn. But there's something horribly wrong if you think they shouldn't. How dare you think that people shouldn't be able to go into an abortion clinic and kill the baby living inside of them? It's interesting. We always talk about following the science. That's the biggest bunch of bull ever came out of Washington. You know, you got to get a vaccination to do anything, but we'll let 100,000 illegal immigrants come in and they don't have to get one. That's not following the science. We're not following the science. If somebody's born biologically as a man, he's a man. If he's born biologically as a woman, he's a woman. That's following the science. How do you know somebody's dead? Their heart stops beating. Well, if that's so, how do you know something's alive? Its heart's beating. Yet in Virginia, they wanted to give you the right to kill a baby once the mama delivered and put him on the table. He's still not a human being yet until somebody says that he is. You do know that's the real world we're living in, don't you? By the way, that's the governor who got beat. Wasn't that great? There's nothing wrong with destroying property and looting stores and riots, but something horribly wrong with anyone trying to prevent such destruction or protect their own property. Nothing wrong with breaking the law, but something wrong with cops trying to stop you. We're a country who now makes heroes out of criminals. I put in the Facebook yesterday or the day before, if you feel the earth rumbling beneath you, it's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. rolling over in his grave. His desire was for an America where skin color never mattered. We now live in one presently where it's all that matters. It's all that matters. Look at these verses, Isaiah 5:20. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness. Proverbs 17:15. He who justifies the wicked and who condemns the righteous, both of them alike are an abomination to the Lord. There are a lot of people in America today who, by this biblical definition, are an abomination to the Lord. Adrian Rogers once said, don't be so open-minded your brains fall out. Well, that's what happened to a lot of people. Their brains have fallen out. There's no common sense is incredibly uncommon these days. Let me say this. People who have been given over by the Lord don't realize they've been given over by the Lord. They feel good about what they're doing. They think they're doing the right thing. They're getting away with it. The truth is that they're under God's judgment, according to Romans 1, and just don't know it. In their quest for freedom, they now live in bondage. They profess to be wise. They become fools. If all of life is a result of nothing times chance times millions of years times equals everything, then there is no right or wrong. If I want to kill you after this service, there's nothing wrong with that. Who are you to say what's right and wrong? You're not God. But if every creation has a creator, if every design has a designer, if everything has a builder, if everything come from someone, and it did, then that someone, God himself, determines what's right and what's wrong. Listen closely. Right and wrong are never changed by who does them. Loving someone does not make what they do right. Liking someone. Well, I know a gay person and I really like him. You might. He might otherwise be a wonderful person. But that doesn't fix his problem with God. There are perverts that you probably work with and you don't know it. You think they're great. How many preachers have mesmerized people only to be found out later that they were nothing of what they claimed to be? The person doing it doesn't determine if it's right or wrong. God determines if it's right or wrong. Well, this is a wonderful person. It's still wrong. This is my child. It's still wrong. But I love this person. It doesn't make it right. Right and wrong never change because they're determined by a God who never changes. Last thing, number five. Sin never repented of is the evidence of an unconverted life. Sin never repented of is the evidence of an unconverted life. Contrary to a lot of popular preaching, if a person doesn't repent of his sin, he cannot be a Christian and will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you think that he can, you either don't know your Bible or don't believe it. Look at these verses. The first two are written by God, penned by the Apostle Paul, who gave us the word grace. They contain lists of sin. I've given you the summary, but here's what the whole verses say. 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And then he says, and such were some of you. Heaven will have people who did all those things. But that's not who they remained. They changed. God changed them. Galatians 5:19-21. The deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Whatever grace means, it definitely doesn't mean that you can continue to commit these sins and be a Christian and go to heaven. God penned another list of sins that God repented of by the Apostle John in Revelation 21:8. Here's the full verse. The cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. Their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is second death. Now, probably everyone in this room's told a lie. If you said, well, I haven't told one, you probably just told another one, okay? So it's not talking about people who've told lies, it's talking about liars. Not talking about people who've committed immorality, it's talking about immoral people. You see the difference? It's who you are. It's not something you did once or in some season in the past. Jot down Hebrews 9. There's kind of a mix up there in the outline. Hebrews 9 says this. Jesus became to all who obey him the source of eternal life. All who obey him. Now, Matthew 7:21, here's what Jesus said, full verse. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, we're in the kingdom of heaven, but he tells us who will get to heaven. He who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. You say, but I prayed that prayer. Did you repent? Look at John 3:36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son does not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. That first word, believe, and the second word in your King James says believes again. It's a whole different Greek word. It means to obey. In our day, we've reduced being a Christian to praying a prayer that gives you an irrevocable ticket to heaven and comes with a post-salvation option of actually following or obeying Jesus. You don't really have to do all that stuff because you prayed the prayer and now you're going. Heard a comedian say this recently. She was talking about how preachers are always threatening people with hell trying to get them saved. But then she goes to the funeral and nobody's ever going there. She said, if you're going to be effective at scaring us with hell, somebody at a funeral needs to go there. You know what I'm saying? But we go to funerals and everybody winds up in heaven. Everybody's gone in the arms of Jesus. They were of the Baptist faith, which means they hadn't darkened a door in 50 years. Which means they're lost as lost can be. But we're all going to live in denial and pretend they're fine and in a, quote, better place. If you know your Bible, they're not. The Bible never paints this picture. We talk about becoming a Christian. The Bible talks about, teaches us how to be Christian, be a Christian. It's not a decision you once made. It's a lifestyle you've chosen and continue to live. You do what you do because you are who you are. Jesus told us that you would know people by their fruits, by who they are, not by something they once did. Well, I'm a Christian. Well, how do you know? Because 50 years ago, I prayed that prayer. I went down. The Bible never tells you that you know you're a Christian because of something you once did. Every time it talks about it, it's because of who you now are. If you did what you should have done, then you're becoming who you ought to be. If you're not becoming who you ought to be, then whatever you did, you didn't do what you should have done. An unrepentant life is a sign of an unconverted life. If he got you, you hear me say it this way, if he got you, you got him. You got him, you got changed. If you didn't get changed, it's because you never got him. If you never got him, it's because he never got you. How could the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, come to live inside of you and it not change you? Does it make us perfect? No. But it makes us want to be. The Does it mean we never mess up? No, but it means we don't like to do it and we try not to. Satan is a liar and a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's a master deceiver. He'll make you think he's the good guy and that God's the bad guy. Remember an old country song talking about the devil said, I've read about him, but I never dreamed he'd have blue eyes and blue jeans. When the devil comes to you, he's not going to come in a red suit with horns and a pitchfork and a long tail. No, he's going to come as the most attractive desire you've ever laid eyes on. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He'll make wrong look and feel right, and he'll make right look and feel wrong. And regardless of what Debbie Boone's saying, it can be wrong when it feels so right. The devil didn't lay down his life for you. He takes yours from you. He didn't lay down his life for you. He takes yours from you. The wages of sin, still death. He baits you with freedom, and then you find yourself in bondage. He sells you pleasure, but you end up in pain. His lies lead to guilt and shame. Sin never satisfies. It just creates a greater appetite for more. Listen, it puts you on a slippery slope, and the further you go, the steeper the slippery slope gets. Which explains Romans chapter 1. God gives you what you want. But it's not a victory, it's his judgment. But there's someone who gave his life for you so he could give his life to you, and that's Jesus. He wants you to have his joy, not guilt and shame. He wants your choices to make your life better, not more difficult, more damaged. One day, to give you a perfect heaven. He came to give us an abundant life. That abundant life is the obedient life. Last thing, this is for Christians. If you believe in him, then believe him.
If you enjoyed today's message, we want to invite you to join us in person at Corrington Church this Sunday. We have community groups and childcare starting at 9 a.m. and one Sunday service at 10:15 a.m. Come see us. Again, thank you so much for joining us today. You're listening to Corrington Cast, the official podcast of Corrington Church. If you have any questions at all, visit us online at CorringtonChurch.com or drop us a message or comment on social media. We're at Corrington Church. We hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we pray God's richest blessings on your life. Give us a rating, hit subscribe, and have a fantastic day.